So tonight's message is expect healing. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you, Lord, to just bless us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he may teach us, Lord, all things, and that we may get the true understanding of what this message is tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope tonight's message will lift your expectation of healing prayers. And so are we moving on in our faith? If you were to start an apprenticeship, after 3 or 4 years, you would expect to be a carpenter, plumber, electrician, whatever it is, the apprenticeship that you're doing. At the end of the time, you are a qualified tradesman. You know your stuff. At the beginning of the apprenticeship, you would have the end in mind. You'd be progressing towards the goal. If you are doing a university degree, you would expect to be a qualified teacher or some professional at the end of it. Perhaps you're doing a traineeship for a job, and in 2 years' time, you expect to be a qualified childcare worker. So what's the expected time of being a trainee disciple before the disciples is like their teacher? How long until we are like Jesus? The word disciple means pupil or follower or imitator. The disciples expected to do what Jesus did, and that's why they hung around him. That was their expectation. So I was a bit convicted when I was writing this, because in the book of Acts, we see the disciples, after only 3.5 years, were doing what Jesus did, or greater things than he did, as per the promise. So just going to bring up John 14:12. So John 14:12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." So who did Jesus heal? We know for sure in some places that Jesus had great statistics. So I just want to go to Matthew 8:16. "That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." So who did Jesus heal? He healed them all. So Luke 4:40. "Now when the sun was setting, those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them." So again, who was healed? Everyone. What about the disciples? So Peter and Paul had great figures in some places, and we're given a snapshot. Peter in Acts 5:16 healed all that were brought to him in Jerusalem. So Acts 5:16, "The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." So they were all healed. And then Paul in Acts 28:8-9 had great results on the island of Malta. "It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured." So we see that the rest were cured. So when I started out in the Christian walk, I was praying, and I actually had some good prayers answered. And I shared this testimony with a mature Christian I knew. I didn't know many at the time, I only knew a couple. And the response was, "Yeah, well, God will do that in the beginning, but then he puts you to the test and he lets you suffer a bit to see if you want to just keep for him or for his healing, so that you don't get too proud." And so he just kept talking doubts. So obviously my expectations changed from "God will heal" that I got from reading the Bible, and that changed to "God won't heal because he is testing me, teaching me, humbling me." And so basically I learned a lot of lies about God, doubt and unbelief. And so for many years thereafter, some Christians are doubt peddlers, like drug peddlers, only worse. I want to look at few who are operating in healing ministries. Some are still with us and some have passed on. So Randy Clark and Bill Johnson wrote a healing guide together, and the main statement for writing it was, "More people get healed when more people pray for healing." So when Randy was young, he was involved in a serious car accident. The car was a mangled wreck. His best friend was killed, and he was left with a broken jaw. Every vertebrae in his back was fractured with bad compression. He had a broken rib and a whole range of internal problems. So Randy had a whole lot of people praying for him, and a series of divine healings let him walk out of the hospital healed 20 days later. So he was to get involved after that in the Vineyard Fellowship for a while. And he tells the story of before he planted his own church, he worked a secular job and he decided to conduct an experiment that anyone who told him they were sick in his workplace, he would offer prayer to them for healing. He found that the percentage of unchurched people that he prayed for received healing was higher than churched people. So I guess one conclusion that he made was unchurched people who accept prayer haven't been taught to doubt. So as Christians, we get what we can believe for. We get what we expect to get. What you say is your faith speaking. You can have what you say. The Bible says in Mark 11, 23 and 24, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the end of Mark 11, 23 says, but believes that what he says will come to pass. I was looking for some stats on results of prayer and ministries. So I'm just briefly going to skip through a few. I don't know if anyone's heard of Francis McNutt. So he was a Catholic Dominican priest, and he was a leader in the charismatic renewal, and he got turned on in around 1967 to the healing ministry, and he became an authority in the Catholic Church in America. So McNutt observed a lot of Catholics going to healing meetings conducted by Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts and others, and he realized that the Catholic Church wasn't meeting the needs of the people. So to his credit, he studied these healing meetings and became successful in healing. His book Healing was a bestseller, and so he would run healing retreats and teach other priests how to minister healing in the churches. McNutt quotes a chemist, Reverend Franklin Law, who wrote a book, The Power of Prayer on Plants, to build expectations of prayer. So in one of the experiments, he had 167 people praying for some seedlings, which achieved a 52.71, don't know how they worked that out, percent growth advantage over the seedlings with no prayer. So he also talks about growing speed of ryegrass significantly increased while the prayers continued for it. In other controlled experiments, the healing rate of mice showed that continuing prayer had measurable results. McNutt wrote, "Who can say that we know all the factors of a case so that we can say with certainty the remission of a disease took place following prayer and therefore prayer ceased it to take place? But I do believe that anyone who would come with me on a retreat after retreat would see so many blessed healings that he would see a cumulative body of evidence all pointing in the direction of an extraordinary power being present, of a number of healings taking place well beyond the realm of chance occurrence." So McNutt was later to leave the Catholic Church, get married, have a couple of children. He continued a successful teaching and ministering in healing and deliverance ministry. Has anyone heard of John Mellor? John Mellor, yeah, so he passed away recently. So he was an Australian, went to one of his ministries. He was a minister for many years before he started praying for the sick. And then one day he prayed for an Indigenous woman in a community out from Catherine, and she was healed and everything changed. He showed up the following week and he thought it was a football match on, so everyone showed up. The end of his ministry, he was praying for people every day. His healing ministry took him all over the world, and in one of his books, Keys to Healing, he wrote this. In the early days when God began to heal people in response to my prayers, I didn't see as many miracles as I do now. On average, during a meeting, every fourth or fifth I prayed for might have been healed. After 7 years of exercising my faith for healing every day, I often have meetings where every person is healed, or every second person, or the majority of people. He goes on, after making a decision to minister to the sick, you might pray for a number of people without any of them being healed, and you will be faced with a choice. Do you stop praying or continue in faith? If you keep going, you will eventually see someone healed. The number of people who aren't healed will get smaller and smaller, and the healings and the miracles will multiply. Your faith will grow, but it all begins and continues with a decision. So that's the end of that quote. And so what I get from John Maller, he says, if we will have success if we make a decision that prayer works and we don't give up. The next one is John Wimber. You probably heard of him. He is the founder of the Vineyard Christian Fellowship in America. Around the end of the 1970s, he began preaching on healing twice on Sundays and had no one healed for 10 months. He had a lot of people left his church because it became very awkward and embarrassing to be there. They would pray for hours and hours and nothing would change. But he felt that God had put it on his heart to keep praying for the sick, so he continued. And at the end of 10 months, Wimber was called by a husband to pray for his wife, who was sick of a fever. And if the husband had to stay home, he would have had to look after the kids, and then he would have lost his job. So the pressure was on. Pressure was probably on every time, but things really changed for Wimber and his church after that, because she was the first to get healed. So he wrote a book called Power Healing. And he said, it was my job was to obey and pray and rely on his sovereign mercy. His part was to heal. He went on to say that my experience is not typical of what happens when most people begin praying for the sick. In fact, I have met many and trained many Christians who healed the sick the first time they prayed for them. But Wimber's perseverance was inspiring to many ministers in the supernatural. His church became to be known for training on supernatural and power ministry. Next is C. Peter Wagner. So he was a pastor of a traditional evangelical church, and he was very skeptical of the Pentecostal movement, but was led to study them because of their church growth, even when the traditional churches were in decline. So Wagner studied the Pentecostal and charismatic movements in a lot of the third world countries where church growth was so rapid that churches couldn't be built quick enough to house the people. So this led him to seek God to move in power in his church. And so Wagner went to one of John Wimber's healing sessions, and John Wimber prayed for him, and Wagner was healed of very high blood pressure. He was taking 3 or 4 tablets a day, and then he was completely healed after that. So C. Peter Wagner was someone who liked figures, and so when he started praying for the sick in his own church in the 1980s, the first 114 people gave their results as such. So no improvement was 18%, some improvement 28%, considerable improvement 25%, and completely well 29%. Wagner also quoted one of Vineyard's churches, led by Wimber's associate pastor, who kept results of 600 people prayed for at around about the same time. And the results were no improvement, 19%, some or considerable improvement, 58%, completely well, 26%, which comes to 103%. So I'm not sure what happened there. Just sort of say that because I thought Liz might add it up. With continued prayer, we can assume considerable improvement and the completely well figures would be lifted higher. So John G. Lake was healed when he was young by the prayer of John Alexander Dowie, who had healing rooms in America. Lake became a healing evangelist who had great success. So he was like from 100 years ago. But he believed that a person should keep getting prayed for until they are completely healed. And so he set up healing homes. like hospitals. But the medication was prayer, meditation on the Bible, and worship. And so Lake recorded over 100,000 healings between 1915 and 1920. I just want to finish with a couple of quick thoughts. When we go to the doctor, he or she will say something like, take one of these tablets 4 times a day with food for 3 weeks and don't stop early or the germs will build up resistance. And if we look at divine healing the same way and pray 4 times a day and don't stop or the demons will build up resistance, where would we be? And then my other thought was, well, when you go to war, when people go to war, they're more likely to win if they expect to win. And if you don't get a medal unless you've been in the battle. We have a lot of reasons to expect to win. God wants you well, and he wants you to pray for others. We cannot expect God to answer our prayers if we're not believing for anything. So we have to expect healing if we're going to get it. Thank you. That's it.